to the dads, the fathers here, and I'm going to give 3 points or 3 words. And for each point, I've asked a dad to share a testimony about that particular subject or topic or point. Okay, but let me start first with a passage from Matthew. It's Matthew chapter, let me start with a passage from Psalms, actually. Psalms 103:13. It says this: "Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." So in this passage, there is a direct link made between an earthly father and how an earthly father acts and treats his children, in this case with compassion, and the Lord. The Lord makes a connection. He says, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And so for me, this points to the fact that the role and the calling of a father, primarily the number one role and calling of a father, of a dad, is to give our children a tangible experience, a tangible picture, a tangible image, truth, understanding of what God is like. That's what we're called to, dads. It's through us, our kids might get a taste. We are their very first father figure, our dad, their first interaction with a father. And so our number one calling is that through us, imperfect as we are, through us, our kids might get an impression, an image of who Father God is. That's God's calling for you. If you're a dad, that's God's calling for you. That's why you are so vital. You are so important because you are the first impression your son or daughter is going to have of a father. And hopefully, it communicates to them an image, picture, experience of what Father God is like. Because their very first ideas, very first experiences of Father is going to come through you. So, if you are kind, their initial thought of Father God is going to be what? He's kind. If you are patient, Father God, patient. If you are loving, oh, Father God's loving. But if we are critical, if we are angry, if we are passive, that's the picture they're going to have of Father God. So dads, you are very, very, very important. So today I'm going to give you some words of encouragement, some words of exhortation. And the first is this: number one, connect heart to heart with your kids by listening to them and playing with them. First, listening. Look at this verse in Psalms. Psalms 116, 1 and 2. The psalmist says this: "I love the Lord." Why? "Because he hears my voice and my prayers for mercy." He says, you know, I love God. I love God so much. You know why I love God? Because he hears me. Because he hears my voice. Because he bends down to listen to me. That's the psalmist's understanding and experience of the Father. Father God, that he bends down. That he, Almighty God, gets on our level with us. He humbles himself. He inclines his ear. He bends down so he could hear and connect his heart with ours. "I will pray as long as I have breath." The Lord is the very, very best the ultimate father. And it says one of the things he does as a good father, he listens to us. He bends down and kneels down to hear us, to connect to us, heart to heart. He humbles himself in that way. Why? Because he desires most of all relationship with us. For us to know him. He knows us, but he wants us to know him. And not just hear intellectual knowledge. Oh yeah, there is a God. He wants us to know him as Father, Yahweh. One we have personal relationship with us, who we connect with heart to heart. And one of the most important ways you connect with a person, listen to them. Listen, dads, we need to be listening to our kids. But second, we need to play with them. But when I say play with them, it's not, hey, I'm going to go out to the range and hit some balls. Why don't you come along with me and watch me hit some balls? That's them playing with us. That's our image, dads, of them playing with us. Them coming along or us teaching them or playing with them what's fun for us. No. When I say play with them, I'm talking about playing how they want to play and what they want to play and entering into their world. Nothing connects more with connecting hearts with our kids than with us entering into their world and playing how they want to play, doing the things they want to do. You know, I read this, the average school-age boy spends 30 minutes a week in one-on-one conversations with their fathers. In contrast, they spend around 44 hours a week on either TV, video games, or internet. Dads, number one, connect hearts with our kids. So for this, I asked Jeremy to, Yuan, he's gonna come and he's gonna share how he connects with his daughters. Let me see.
Thank you. There's a point to this story, I promise. I meet with Pastor Barry about once a month. We're going through a book. It's called The Creative Act by Rick Rubin. If you don't know who Rick Rubin is, I think he's like the head of Def Jam Records. Anyway, he's a really interesting guy. So the book is about finding creativity or being creative in all aspects of life. So we're going through that book, and then partway through, I woke up and I had an existential crisis. I felt like I'm not being challenged creatively at all at work. What am I doing with my life? I should be a creative writer or something. And I guess this happens every 10 years. 10 years ago, I had the same existential crisis. And back then, no kids. Larissa was like, yeah, you know, go ahead, pursue a different career. And then this time she was like, no. we got three kids. So I thought about it and I said, okay, where can I spark creativity in my everyday life, in my everyday schedule? And so I looked no further than just my own family. And so the following nights, I think Melody, she came up and she said, Dad, play with me. And I thought back, and there are plenty of nights where I just kind of like phoned it in, right? It's like, okay, we'll play, you know, whatever you want to play, and I'll go along. But I said, you know what, let's get creative. So I said, we're playing Super Pretend. And she said, what's Super Pretend? So I said, Super Pretend is, you don't just tell me that you're making me like eggs and bacon or whatever. You have to tell me where these eggs are coming from, where you're sourcing these eggs. You got to go to the market. You got to buy the bacon. You got to tell me how much you paid for the bacon, right? Just kind of like more detail out of the pretend. And she really loved it. So now every once in a while she goes, let's play super pretend. And then sometimes I'm like, oh man, I don't feel like it, but I got to play super pretend now. So that's with Melody. With Cammy, she likes to play doctor sometimes. Sometimes I'm the patient, sometimes I'm the nurse. Anyway, so the the next time she wanted to play doctor, I said, okay, we're playing doctors, but we're playing doctors without borders. And so doctors without borders, if you'd like to play with your kids, is everyone speaks in gibberish, but you're trying to understand each other. Like as the patient, it's like, oh, you know, like my arm's broken. You can't say that. You kind of have to like, and then, so they, but then the doctors are also speaking gibberish back to, I don't know, it's, they like it. They really enjoyed it. So to bring it all back, I think it satisfied like the creative longing that I had, just and then also as like a dad, to see them so happy with even, you know, just a slight twist to what they like to play, and then to play with them and really just fully engage, you know, get in on the sourcing of the bacon or or, you know, really trying to describe my broken elbow in gibberish. It's really fulfilling to see their smiling faces in playing with them, and then I think they really can tell when I'm like fully 100% devoted to what they want to play. And they really appreciate it, because from time to time they'll come up to me and they go, oh dad, thanks for playing with me. It's when I'm like, you know, for me it takes like next to nothing, right? It's just time. But also, right, how much more time do I have where they will come up and say, hey, let's play, versus like, you know, dad, you're lame. So that's my testimony. Thank you.
That's good, Jeremy. As Jeremy said, we kind of meet like about once a month, and initially we went through a different book, a couple of books, and then we were going through Normal Christian Life together, you know, Watchman Nee. It's kind of heavy stuff. So about the fourth chapter, I go, this isn't working with Jeremy, right? This isn't, and I kind of gained to know him. I thought, there's this creative part of how God made him, that need that the Lord wants to bring out, the Lord wants to stir. And then I had bought this book, and it's a secular book, but it's very interesting, and it's all about releasing your creativity. And I thought, maybe, I felt like the Lord said, let's go through that with Jeremy, and it's been great. And then to see him, how he stepped into that creativity, because let me ask you, when his daughters get older, what are they going to remember? What are they going to remember about their dad? And by Jeremy doing this, what is he giving to them in terms of their picture of what Father God is like? Connecting hearts, number one. Listen to your kids. Play with them the way they want to play. Connect hearts. Number two, learn how to father from knowing your father. Learn how to father from knowing your heavenly father. Matthew 7, 9 through 11. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks him for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Even the very best of earthly dads pale in comparison to how good Father God is. Dads, the best thing you can do, the best thing you can do for your kids as a father is to develop a close, intimate relationship with your Father, with Father God. Because, and that means talking with God, interacting with him, you know, knowing one another, working things out, being partnered together through life with Father God. Because he says, because let me tell you something. To know how to be a good dad, you have to know what it means to be a good son. You have to know how Father God fathers you as a son. That, more than anything, will help you to know and give you the heart to father your children the way God wants us to, the way he does. I have a second testimony. My son-in-law, proud of him, love him. It's Lauren Tangen. He's going to share a story about how being a dad has given him insight and understanding experience of the heart of the Father. So,
thanks.
So, when Mindy and I got married, what you saw was a man so overcome with joyful emotion that he couldn't help but weep. The funny part is that wasn't me. It was my best man. I didn't tell him I was going to do that, but I'm sure he's fine. You know, Mindy makes fun of me because I'm not a crier. I mean, who hasn't cried watching a YouTube video of soldiers coming home? But other than that, crying is not one of the ways that I regularly express emotion. So when my mom, years ago, knocked on our door to drop us off some food, and I suddenly fell into her arms sobbing, that really showed me something about where I was. As some of you know, Hudson took a feeding journey as an infant that left us as first-time parents really, really concerned. And it left doctors concerned enough that at 3 months old, they had us do an MRI for a cranial bleed for him. And so here we were, still in COVID regulations, going to Chalk to have Hudson go through a brain scan. And, you know, with how things were, only one of us could go in at a time. So we were talking before to figure out, you know, how we would do that. And we agreed that the more logistical portion was up front and the comforting was at the end. So naturally, I went first and I asked all the questions leading up, and Mindy was there after to be the true comforter. So here I am in the room with Hudson getting ready for the scan. You know, one of the best things, one of the only good things coming out of COVID was that COVID flow we all had. If you can see that poking out the back. There's another picture here. This is him on the table getting ready, 3 months old. And to do a brain scan as a three-month-old, they have to do full anesthesia. They have to put him all the way under. So I'll never forget, you know, we're in there getting ready, and then he goes to the table. The anesthetologist puts the mask on, and he starts taking those breaths, and he is screaming, screaming, screaming. And then the doctor says, there he goes. His eyes roll back in his head. Boom. Out. And, you know, Hudson's specific journey really, it pales in comparison to some of the hardships that we know parents in this room have experienced. And ultimately, God has seen Hudson through all these years, and he continues to grow him mightily in ways that we're so thankful for. But for me, as a new dad, that specific moment, watching him receive that anesthesia and standing on the side, not being able to hold his hands, having to be 8 feet back, right, and watching my son wail on that table until he knocked out,
was a very real experience for me of that feeling we have as parents, that there's nothing we would not do for our child, nothing we wouldn't hold back to protect them. So when I think about how being an earthly father has shown me more of the Father's heart, I think of this. If me, I, who am a broken, sinful man, can love and seek to give everything for my son, how much more perfect and powerful is the love of our Heavenly Father? Like, it really actually has blown my mind over these years, thinking about and realizing in these moments how much I love my boys, how much I enjoy them, how much they make me happy when I see them enjoy time with me. Like with what Jeremy's talking about, when they say play with me, how much that fills my heart with joy. How much it hurts when I see them struggle or when they push me aside. And if I experience this for them on a daily basis, it's made me realize how much more does God experience that with me? How much does He want to spend time with me? Not because He feels He deserves it, which He does, but because He enjoys it, because He enjoys me. How much does it hurt Him when I reject Him over and over and over again? And His being willing to do anything, for Him, that wasn't a thought experiment. It wasn't a thought exercise. The Father put His own Son on the cross and sacrificed it all because He loves me. One of my favorite hymns is How Deep the Father's Love. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one, bring many sons, bring me to glory. There is nothing God would hold back to have me. There's nothing He held back, not even His own Son. So in that week after the MRI, when I opened the door and my mom was there, the weight of my love for Hudson couldn't hold back anymore, and I wept. Being a dad to Hudson and Caden, God has shown me that my love for them is just a cup. It's only a cup scooped out of God's infinite and perfect love for me. And if I ever feel far from that ocean of love that He has for me, it's because I've turned my face away. Because God's love has never once departed. Thanks.
That a boy! Yeah. So good. Number three, step into God's calling for you as head of your home. Step into God's calling for you as head of your home. 1 Thessalonians 2:10 through 12. You are witnesses, and so is God. This is Paul talking to the Thessalonians. You're witnesses, and so is God. How devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. Paul was a single man, but he was a father. He carried the Father's heart. He treated them and exhibited them to them what Father God was like. And He encouraged them, built them up, loved them, exhorted them to, verse 12, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. Dads, God has given you. God has given you authority and power to be the head of your household. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to be head of the household? It means being led by Christ. Being an influence and making decisions that will create an environment in your home so all those under your care can grow to be the person God created them to be. You know, at times, being the head is probably like being a captain of a ship. You have to lead. You have to take charge. Being a head sometimes requires that. But I think most often, being the head is like a gardener is head of the garden. Being a head means creating the right environment, providing the nutrients, getting rid of the weeds and the pests so that your spouse and your children can be all that God created them to be. You know, in this day and age, there is a desperate, desperate need in our society for dads and men to step up and take our place. I came across these different statistics. I don't know if you knew this, but the United States leads the world in single-parent homes. 80% of those homes are single moms. China, 3% single homes, single-parent homes. India, 4%. The world average, 7%. The United States, 23%. That's an area we do not want to be the world leader in. It's over three times the world average. 90% of all homeless in single parent homes, it results in 90% of all the homelessness and runaway children. 63% of teen suicides. 85% of kids with behavioral disorders. 70% of teenage pregnancies come from kids in fatherless homes. Kids that come from fatherless homes are 20 times more likely to be incarcerated, 11 times more likely to exhibit violent behavior. Now, I thought this was interesting. Children raised by two parents are less likely to end up in jail, but that is about the same rate of a home with the father as the single parent. There's a huge challenge, and they try their best for moms to be the single parent. That's why dads, men, you are extremely important in the lives of your kids and the lives of children around you that don't have a father in their lives. It is critical that we step up. And we need to support and cover the single moms and the kids with absent fathers. We need to do that. I'm going to have a close with someone. It's Don Jenks, and I feel like the Spirit, the Lord, has just been stirring in him personally and stirring him with a conviction of, man, just need to step up. Me and the dads and the men, we just need to step up. So I'm going to have Don come and share with us.
You guys are going to have to bear with me a little bit. You got a drummer and a construction worker trying to talk logic into you, so let's see if we can get through this. Hopefully it makes sense. So I have a whole outline here, but I'll try to kind of abandon a little bit because I just want to stay out of the way and hope that God can talk through me to you guys and that we all get something out of here we can walk away with and use. So God gave us our kids. He gave us His kids, and we're supposed to be raising them up, and we're supposed to be the figures that they look to get an idea of what he's like. We can see this Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Proverbs 27, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. I'm not sure what stepping up into your role as a dad looks like, but I'll start with mine, which began with conviction, confession, and repentance. If I'm not right with God, there's no way I can show my kids what I'm supposed to be like or what he's supposed to be like. So it kind of hit me maybe a couple months ago, and God kept telling me the men are weak. And I'm just wondering what that means. And then the book we read, The Awe of God, it hit me in a bunch of ways, and it got me really reflecting on my character. And where I arrived was that I didn't fear God at all. God showed me that I have other masters before him, and he also showed me how much he loved me and how little I loved him. I listened to this book in the car, mostly on Audibles, because that's where I get most of my time. I drive a lot for work, so when I finished it, a preview came on for another book by John Belvedere, or Bevere. It was called The Bait of Satan. And what's cool about this is the opening, it nailed me right on the head. Talked about the spirit of offense and how it caused you to have unforgiveness inside of you, and then your pride masks the hurt, preventing forgiveness upon others. One of the spots in the book I liked the most was it said, when you're offended, even if the offense is justified, it creates a wall between you and God. You may see others around you worshiping freely, feeling God's presence, being emotionally or spiritually moved, but you feel cold, disconnected, or numb. This isn't because God has withdrawn from you, but it's because your heart has been hardened by offense. Unforgiveness blocks intimacy with God. And I also learned that all the offense dictated how I treat other people with the bitterness inside. And after absorbing all this and doing a lot of praying, I realized that I feared my employer and judgment of men more than God. And because of this, I prioritized work over my family, put most of my efforts into making money for my company. I became overworked, overwhelmed in my new position, lost control of my projects, and allowed my integrity to be compromised as I turned a blind eye to a lot of dishonesty that was happening amongst my peers in the field. So, fear of men almost caused me not to pray for my kid 2 weeks ago when we had all the kids up front. Fear of other things than God and taking the spirit of offense led me to regret, attained a reputation at work, exhaustion, and it made me feel the presence, or maybe not feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. But because of the fear that I wasn't fearing God, I called Pastor Barry a couple days ago. I said, I'm not going to come up here and talk today. You know? That's ridiculous. But luckily, my wife put me back into place, and here I am. And the reason I'm putting this all out there is, you know, after I messed everything up, God, you know, he revealed to me that I could be one of those people that I would die early, and then he would say, depart from me. And I came to that because, you know, Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Matthew 6:14, for you For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If I don't forgive everybody else, then I'm not forgiven. And the last one is Romans 21:8. That's, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, idolaters, and liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur for the second death. Through this process, the soul of my heart is getting cultivated and become the clay that our Heavenly Father can form into the intended vessel. God spoke to me through others, revealing me that he sees my struggles and wants me to give up control. He's taken all my negative thoughts away. He's shaping my interactions with others, helping me be bolder about the Father's business, and he's given me more and more contentment at work, even though it's never been such a bad atmosphere. It's been such a cool journey, guys. And the reason this is so important is because without doing this and repenting and telling my brothers and sisters that I really messed up, how can I be a good dad to my kid? So maybe he'll see this one day, and maybe he'll understand, and then also want to be a little more like me, you know? So if I'm trying to be like God, trying to be honest, truthful about everything, I'm hoping he wants to be the same. And then just applying it, like I said, a godly father must be a godly man. Spiritual disciplines are what are going to be making us a good, healthy father at home. So I think, I don't have much more to say. I was hoping you'd give me something, but if this helps one person, learn from my mistakes. It'll hopefully turn you into a better man and a good dad. So thank you.
So proud of you, Don. We all are. It takes courage to do that faith. So thank you. Thank you for sharing your heart very openly with us. I'm going to have the worship team come up now. Worship team coming up. I think from this, I really sense the spirit, the heart of the Lord here. And I think the one thing the Lord is calling is for dads and the men too. What does the Lord want you to do to step up? What does it mean for you to step up? What action do you need to take to step up into the calling, the position, the role, that the Lord wants you to step into? He's there. He's given you authority, power to lead, to create the environment for your family and for others in your sphere. So what is he calling you to do? And so I think we're just going to go into worship. And if you feel like there's something the Lord puts on your heart, I just got the sense when Don mentioned about repentance, the Spirit just highlighted that. And like if you want to repent, confess, and then actually, wherever you're at, just commit that, Lord, this is what I want to do. This is what I sent you calling me to do, or help me, Lord, to step into my role. And I'll encourage you to do that. And one way you could do that is by just coming up before taking that step, coming up before the Lord and just say, Lord, okay, I'm just coming up just as a sign, tangible sign to say, Lord, I'm in. Just help me. Help me to be the man, be the dad, be the husband, be the father that you call me to be, okay? I did really want us to pray for Pastor Robert and Pastor Jenny O. Pastor Robert, man, just feel so blessed having you in our church, and you, Jenny. And so Pastor Robert, he's leaving tomorrow for another about 6 months in Cambodia. So, you know, God has really blessed us with having them, because they are, I believe, spiritual fathers and mothers to many in Cambodia. And so, Pastor Robert, Jenny, why don't you just come up here and sit in the front row? And I just want to encourage you, if you feel led to pray for them, then Jenny's going to be here for another couple of weeks. But like I said, Pastor Robert's leaving tomorrow. But I just felt like I want our church to bless them. I want us, their church, to pray and send them off with our blessing, and just the Lord, Holy Spirit, to fill them up for this next stretch for them. So during worship, if you feel led, come on up and please pray for them. Okay. All right, let me pray. Lord, thanks. You are the best of fathers. Lord, I know this is a remnant for you who did not withhold anything from us, Lord. How will you not give us all things, Lord? And so, Lord, thank you. You gave us the ultimate example, kind of culminating in the sending and your willingness to send your son, your one and only son, to come and to suffer and to die and to take the judgment on our behalf, that through Jesus you would have what you long for, many, many sons and daughters. And so, Lord, I pray you would stir this. This is the moment, the time, Lord, that you're calling your sons to step up into their place of husbands, fathers, Lord, influencers, for those that need around us too. So, Lord, speak to each of the guys here today. Lord, speak and stir in them, I pray. Thank you, Lord. And we pray that you would be blessed, you would be worshiped, you would be honored as we worship you now. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this time is yours.